Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. O Lord, as we come to this passage from your word, help us to both understand it and apply it to our lives. Be with my words, may they be true to yours. Enable me to bring across the meaning of this passage to this, your people. We pray that you'll bless us as we look to you. Help us to set aside the cares of the week and turn our attention to you as our God and our Savior. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, most of my object lessons I think of myself, but this one is borrowed from Francis Chan, so I didn't come up with this on my own. But here I've got a rope. I've got a rope. Francis had had his attached to a rock, and I don't know. But anyway, here's my rope. Now, this rope, imagine it going on forever and ever. Goes around the world 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Just keeps going. There's no end to it. So, think of it as a timeline of your existence. Here, on the end, is your life on earth. And then, if you're a believer in Christ, guess what? Your life will go on forever and ever. Nate, can you see the end? No, you can't. I hit it. But, so, your life will go on forever and ever. So, what do you think about most often? Well, most of us think about, okay, here I was born, and here I was living in my teen years. You can see how far I am from my teen years. But, you know, when I was there, where was I looking? Well, I was looking right about there. That was where my focus was. What am I going to do with my life after I get out of school, after I get out of college? What am I going to do? And God took me a number of different places in here. And, you know, a lot of people that are in my part of life are saying, okay, now I've worked all these years and now I can look forward to my retirement and, you know, I can do things getting ready for this time right in here. Wait a minute. What about all this? It just keeps going and going. And the fact is that many of us make decisions based on what's going to happen about here, or here, or here. And we lose sight of the fact that the decisions that we make in this life, in this area, are going to affect where we will be and what we will be doing for all eternity. And as we look at this passage that Paul has here in the beginning of Colossians 3, we understand what we need to be thinking about, where we need to be looking, what we need to be seeking, so that the life that we live forever will be the life that we want to live forever. I'll look at this passage in three parts: seek, set, and serve. Now, many of you have probably memorized a verse about seek. Now, anyone know a verse that starts out with seek? Like, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay, Jesus talked about that. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Here, the NIV, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. In the Greek, it's just things above, seek. Things above, seek. We need to be looking not at the things on this earth, not in the things that are going to happen just in this small area here, but we need to be looking at what's going to happen for all eternity and where we belong for all eternity. Things above, seek. Strive after them. The use of this word in the Old Testament indicates a striving with your whole being, not just your mind, and thus the NIV saying, set your heart. It's not a wrong translation, it's just a look at what this word entails. Setting our whole being, seeking after the things that are above. Those things that are above. If we have been raised with Christ, Christ has been raised, and if we know Him, if we're united to Him, if we understand truly what it means to believe in Him, then we can look to Him where He is, seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Seated at the right hand of God. Now, Paul has an emphasis in this book on being in Christ, on our union with Him. So if we died with Him, we have also been raised with Him. And we can look to where He is because that's our final destination. That right hand is often used in Scripture to be the hand of power. We sang about that. We'll sing about it again at the end in Psalm 110. It's the hand of power, and Christ is now sitting at the hand of God's power, working things out in this world. When Jesus was on the earth, Mark chapter 14, He was silent before the high priest. I'll read 14:61-64. But He remained silent and made no answer. Again, the high priest asked Him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his garments and said, "What further witnesses do we need? You have heard this blasphemy. What is your decision?" And they all condemned Him as deserving death. Why? Because He was equating Himself with God. He was equating Himself with the power of God. He's quoting from Daniel chapter 7, but He's looking at His fulfillment of what was prophesied in the Old Testament. And they rightly understood that if He wasn't God, He was blaspheming. But He was. And He now sits there at the right hand of God. As F.F. Bruce looks at this, I couldn't get any better than his words, so I'd like to read something that he said. "What God has done for His people in Christ is the grand argument and incentive for Christian living. It is because believers have died with Christ and have been raised in new life with Him that their conduct is henceforth to be different. What then are the practical implications of being raised with Christ? In the first place, believers have now no private life of their own. Their life is the life of Christ, maintained in being by Him at God's right hand and shared by Him with all His people. Their interests must therefore be His interests. Instead of waiting until the last day to receive the resurrection life, those who have been raised with Christ possess it here and now. The new creation, the regeneration, has already begun in them. Spiritually, that is to say, in Christ, they belong already to the age to come and enjoy its life. The above, seek." So I was talking last week, we ended up with these words. They're verse 23 of chapter 2. "Such regulations indeed have no appearance of wisdom, have an appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. They lack any value in controlling you. The do's and don'ts lack any value in controlling you. What needs to happen is you need to set your heart. You need to seek after the things above. And you need to set your mind on the things above. That's what's going to have value in restraining sensual indulgence. It's understanding who you are, understanding the difference between this life and our eternal life in Christ that we have if we're a true believer in Him. So the things above, seek and set your mind on those things. The above, think about. Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. The things above, think about. This word is one, it's not just the word for mind, it's the word of what the mind does. It thinks about things. It discerns things. It chooses. It makes choices. Set your mind on things above. Is it just thinking about good things? Being a good person? Having good characteristics in our life? Well, it goes beyond that. If we think it just means the high things of life, we might be good about being honest and doing things right and those kinds of things. But there's a limit to that. And we might take some pride in our own honesty, our own, the things that we do. But that's not what's here. It's the things above. The things where Christ is. The fact is that we are hidden with Christ. We are hidden with Christ. What does that mean? Well, it means that His life is now ours. That as God looks at us, He looks at what Jesus did. He looks at our Lord and Savior. He looks at the one who lived that righteous life. He looks at Christ. And thus we have entrance into heaven. And we need to set our mind on the things above, not on earthly things. We need to set our minds on our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul talks about that back in Philippians chapter 2. This is a wonderful passage. And I'll read the whole passage just because, or this whole section, just because it encompasses so much. Philippians 2, I'll read verses 1 through 11. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, notice that united with Christ. Colossians is full of it. Philippians is also full of it. If you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only at your own interests, but also the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, or your mind, same word used in Colossians, should be that the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. another passage that talks about the humbling of our Christ, of our Lord, but also his exaltation. When we set our minds on things above, we are enabled to think of others as more important than ourselves, to love in the way that Christ loved us, to sacrifice for others, that the kingdom might be built, to live the life that God has called us to, a life that is directed by his truth. Now last week, as I talked about not just obeying a list of do's and don'ts, and that's not what the Christian life is about, but it is a life that's guided by the truth of God's Word as we are united with our Savior. We need to understand who we are in our union with Christ. We need to understand who we are as those who have been given a life that will last forever. When we understand that, then we are guided by the truth that God has given us. The law shows us both our need for a Savior, the fact that we don't measure up to God's requirements, that we don't measure up to what God has given us, but also gives us a guide by which we can live, a guide to what He desires of us. We won't see it in its rightful place, though, if we look at it just as a bunch of do's and don'ts. We need to see that we have a life that's been given to us by our God, and we are to live out that life, giving honor and glory to Him. Set your mind on the things above. Live as one who is united to Christ, living and loving in the same way that He did, guided by the truth, and bringing glory to God. And so we serve. We serve the one with whom we are united. And let's look at verses 3 and 4. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. We are united with Christ. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. And we will appear with him. We have that hope set before us that one day we will go and be with our Savior. And Christ, who is our life, will be there with us. Now, do you have your own private life? Or do you agree with F.F. Bruce? Most of us think, I want to have a private life. But the fact is, anything you do, everything you do, casts a shadow on the one who is with you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, what do you have? You have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. You have Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have Christ in you, and you take Christ wherever you go. And as the world looks at you, that world is looking at Christ. Are you bringing honor to his name? Well, that idea of Christ being our life has a couple of parts. First of all, it gives us hope. Our union with Christ means that our life is hidden with Christ in God, and we can know that we have a place for all eternity. That we have a place that he is bringing us to, and our life on earth isn't the end. We have a hope. We have entrance into God's kingdom because of what Christ has done for us. We are looked at through his righteousness as we stand before God. And we can take comfort in the hope that is set before us. And that hope will not disappoint. But we also have a responsibility. Our union with Christ means that he is with us as we live our lives. And as the Catechism says, we should be living our life to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Have you ever seen the wristbands or t-shirts that say WWJD? Do you know what it means? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Now, that shouldn't just be a slogan that's on a wristband or on a t-shirt. We are united with Christ. Each decision that we make should be one that has that understanding that we are united with Christ. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He is with us wherever we go and in whatever we do. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, unfortunately, I remind myself of that after I've reacted to something. Talking to the electric company or the internet company this week, after I talk to them, I remember that, yes, I need to really be conscious of the fact that I am Christ's representative here. I need to make sure that anything I do, anything I say, brings honor and glory to Him. In the same way, I'm coming out this morning and the guy in front of me decides to stop at a green light. I don't know why, but I need to make sure I think about the fact that whatever I do, whatever facial expressions I make, whatever I do needs to reflect the one who has saved me, the one who is in me, the one who I live for. Christ is with me. He lived His life for me, and now my life is bound up with His. I'm living my life for Him. What message does He want me to send to the world that's around me? All of our relationships should reflect our understanding of who Christ is and the fact that He is living in us. It should affect how we deal with everyone around us. Seek the things above. Set your mind on the things above and serve that one to whom you are united. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. You have a life to live for Him, to bring honor and glory to His name. The above, seek. Where's your heart? Where is your heart? Where is your being? Are you living for earthly things? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? The above, set your mind. What do you think about? As you go through your day, what captures your thoughts? God tells us to take every thought captive, to ensure that we are thinking about the things that God desires. What do you think about? Well, set your mind on the things above, and then serve the one in whose life you are hidden. Take comfort in the hope that He has set before you, and live a life that brings honor to His name. Let's pray. O Lord, as we look to You, enable us to live for You, to understand our place as You have given us life, as You have brought us out of darkness and into Your wonderful light. Help us to really understand what it means to be united to Christ and live our life for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.